Emily Ritzrew, Policy Program Coordinator.
Talk about initial reaction to the release of the draft bill.
So we had, there were some things about this draft farm bill that were positive. We were glad to see some changes, some increases in funding for the National Organic Program, which are really critical given a flood of fraudulent imports coming into the United States. We were glad to see some improvements with some research funding, but, there were many things that kind of negated or took away from the positives in the bill. On the organic side, for example, the National Organic Certification Cost Share funding that helps beginning organic farmers really get started and others was totally zeroed out. So that was a huge disappointment. Obviously, the cuts in conservation hit really hard when we're thinking about sustainable agriculture and moving that forward. So, overall, while there were some good pieces in here, there are many things that are very concerning and could be improved.
As far as the Risk Management Education Partnership Program and then the Beginning Farmer and Rancher Opportunity Act, talk about kind of why those matter to beginning farmers.
The Risk Management Education Partnership has been used by a number of groups around the country to do education and outreach to beginning farmers on some of the crop insurance options that are available to them. Many beginning farmers don't know about these risk management options and really benefit from getting that information from folks within their own community. So that's been really positive. There are some changes, that we wanted to see that would enable beginning farmers to get better access to crop insurance. There's a wonderful new product called the Whole Farm Revenue Protection Program. It's really great for beginning diversified farmers, but there are some problems with the definition of a beginning farmer and having the revenue history they need to access that program. So there are some additional changes that could be made to make that program much more accessible to beginning farmers. And so that's one of the things that we really wanted to see. But I would say one of the biggest pieces that's really disappointing and concerning is the fact that the direct farm ownership loan limit was not raised. So currently, the direct farm ownership loan limits under FSA are $300,000. And for beginning farmers that are trying to access farmland and a homestead, that's really difficult to do on that loan limit. We were hoping to see that raise to at least $500,000 to make it possible for beginning farmers to really achieve their goals of accessing a farm. You know, we've got about 100 million acres of land that's going to change hands during the period the next farm bill is implemented. We've got, a cohort of young people who are really excited and interested in getting into farming, but there are many barriers to making those connections. And certainly raising the loan limits is one way to help make sure that beginning farmers can access the land they need to start a successful farm business.
As they continue to work on the farm bill, talk a little bit about, what you'd like to see happen.
Sure. So certainly the point I just raised about raising the direct farm ownership loan limits to $500,000 is a very basic thing that can be done to improve this draft of the farm bill. I think that, making sure that the Risk Management Education Partnership Program is reauthorized. While we're really excited to see that they did reauthorize the Beginning Farmer and Rancher Development Program. There was no mandatory funding for that program, so that's something we'd like to see it expanded, actually, to include food safety training, land access, and succession planning. You know, OFA has been operating a beginning farmer and rancher development program grant for a little over 2 years now, and we see the tremendous needs, especially around land access and succession planning. So that's something that, you know, really needs much more attention than it has currently.
Go ahead and talk about other aspects that you want to mention.
So one of the things that's really important that we get right in the next farm bill is supporting local and regional food systems development. You know, there's such a movement among consumers to buy locally and regionally produced food, and that presents a tremendous opportunity for farmers, you know, to get high value for their product and really be viable. So it's a job creator. It helps with community viability, community health, and it's really just responding to needs of the marketplace. We've had funding for local and regional foods for the past couple of farm bills, but unfortunately, this draft effectively eliminates the farmers market and local food promotion program because it provides absolutely no mandatory funding. The last farm bill provided the program with $30 million a year in mandatory funding. Even though sometimes things are reauthorized, if they don't get that mandatory funding, it's incredibly difficult to see that funding really come to fruition. And another kind of job creation program is the Value-Added Producer Grant, which allows producers to develop shelf-stable products, do marketing for value-added products. That's another program that mandatory funding was eliminated for. So, you know, these are programs that really are just responding to the market and really provide a tremendous amount of value for very little investment. So we'd really, you know, we want to see mandatory funding for these local and regional food systems programs, and certainly conservation and the changes that have been made to the conservation title are really concerning. The Congressional Budget Office estimated that there's about an $800 million cut to conservation. This is a time when farmers are going to need all the tools they need to invest in soil health and water quality. Certainly in the state of Ohio, we've seen the need to invest in things like cover cropping to deal with nutrient runoff issues and water quality issues. And more farmers are interested in these programs so that they can build on farm fertility, protect natural resources. This bill basically eliminates the Conservation Stewardship Program, which would, that's really the nation's largest conservation program and the only comprehensive conservation program offered through USDA. So while this bill proposes to fold some components of this Conservation Stewardship Program into EQIP, it doesn't keep these advanced conservation activities and cuts working lands conservation funding. So, you know, basically I think that, you know, this bill can be improved with attention to conservation, local and regional food systems development, beginning in organic farmers, and through some small but important tweaks.
Go ahead and tell me what you want to add in.
A couple of the really easy changes that could be made to this farm bill include changes to the conservation title. You know, right now, some farmers have been reluctant to use cover crops because of the termination guidelines. And many people would be surprised to learn that things that are considered NRCS best management practices aren't necessarily considered good farming practices by the risk management agency that oversees the crop insurance program. So what we really want to make sure is that all of our USDA agencies are giving farmers the same message when it comes to conservation. So basically, just ensuring that all NRCS best management practices are considered good farming practices by the Risk Management Agency would help do that. And additionally, on the same line of all of our USDA agencies being on the same page, when it comes to the administration of crop insurance, the Risk Management Agency considers beginning farmers as folks who have 5 years or less of experience, while the rest of USDA considers a beginning farmer as folks with 10 years or less experience. So we'd like to make sure there's consistency there and that all USDA agencies adopt the definition that a beginning farmer is someone with 10 years or less of experience. And that does play out in administration of some of the crop insurance programs like the Whole Food the Whole Farm Revenue Protection Program that we spoke of earlier.